Hello and welcome to WNGS Radio, Episode 6. Today, I have a very special treat for everyone. It's long-awaited. It's a little slimy. It's good-looking. And it's Gene Butcher. Welcome, Gene Butcher.
Slimy?
Moist, slimy.
Okay. Wait, I forgot something. Hold on. I was going to include this in the opening.
In the opening? Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Go for it, yep.
That's a Godfather theme on bagpipes. Okay, that's it. That was going to be my intro music.
There you go. Now it's in forever. So you are, we'll start off with that. Why the Godfather music on bagpipes?
Well, I was given the name Godfather. Oh, like season one.
Like, that was your first nickname?
Yeah.
That was your first NGS name, the Godfather?
Yeah, it was Godfather.
Who gave you that nickname?
Or Drew gave that to me.
Drew gave you that
Drew,
nickname?
Drew, the holder of all nicknames and the bestower of all nicknames.
The bestower of all nicknames. Yeah. So that's what you were dubbed, the Godfather.
I was. I'm not sure a whole lot of people know that, though.
I think more people know it than you realize.
Well, yeah, I used to have that banner in the, yeah, the front of the drum section.
The Godfather. And why are you called the Godfather?
Probably because maybe I came up with the whole entire NGS.
You're the guy.
I'm the one of the guys, yes.
Well, if I remember correctly, when I've had Ken on or in the talk he had at in Ann Arbor, I think he said you were the one that contacted him. You reached out to him, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I was at work, and I was, like, super bored. I had my laptop, and I was just looking. I don't even know what I was looking for, just soccer stuff in general. And I just came across, like, this one-page website, and it had, like, the Detroit City logo and the picture of the three guys playing, like,
that were on the
juggling,
hill.
Right, on the hill in Detroit.
The Ren Center in the background.
And it just, like, said, coming spring 2012, and I kind of deduced from research just that day that it was going to be a soccer team based in the actual city of Detroit.
Which was an unusual thing at the time.
Which was a very unusual thing at the time.
So,
you, and that was like,
well, that was probably what, like summer 2011?
No, that would be late, well, it was actually probably winter. I think it was like November.
Okay. I'm trying to remember the
2012
whole,
or 2011
whole timeline of it. I know it started, like, they kind of teased it in the fall, if I remember correctly, like just the name, and then they had the photos come out, and then they started kind of developing the season ticket packages, right, and all that. And actually, I've never shared how I've heard about it, I think, yet, and so I'll just do it really quick. One of my friends reached out to me. We had just all kind of been soccer people, watched Serie A all the time, and it was kind of the same thing. It was like, oh, like one of our friends texted us, like, hey, did you hear about this team? They're gonna play at like Wayne State or something. Mm-hmm. Which was like,
that was the rumor.
That was the rumor. It was gonna be at Wayne State, and I was like, oh wow, that's really cool. So like, we'll have a team not at fucking Ultimate Soccer,
right?
Like, it was like, oh cool,
where they don't play soccer indoors.
No,
or wait,
they don't play indoor soccer.
They play soccer indoors.
They play,
that's
soccer,
right,
indoors. Yeah. So it was like really exciting, and as more news came out, mm-hmm, about it, I got more and more excited, and I was like, oh, this seems like it's like gonna be a legit thing. Never heard of the MPSL, never thought that we would get a team like that.
Yeah, I had to Google NPSL because I had heard, you know, USL Pro, NASL, yeah, obviously MLS, but yeah, NPSL was something new to me. So
yeah, we didn't know that they had already won a championship.
And there was like a billion
in
teams in the NPSL, which I was like, why have I never heard of this?
It's like, all these logos, terrible
of teams.
Yeah, so you had to look it up, and then I bought season tickets, like kind of the, I think, like, the day they went on sale, I was actually really excited.
Yeah, I remember emailing, it was, like, info@DetroitCityFC or something, mm-hmm, and I'm like, when are tickets going to be on sale? Like, I was, like, super impatient. Yeah. I want to know everything about it. Like, immediately, where are you playing? And
yeah, so blah, blah, blah. That was kind of my first introduction. I just was, like, word of mouth through somewhere. I don't know. Mm-hmm. couldn't even remember the person who told me about it. Like, that's how not a big deal it was. Like, oh, cool. Team in Detroit.
Right.
So then you were, when going back, you were excited to have a team in Detroit?
Right. One that had not already been, I guess, there was no foundation to it whatsoever. There was nothing there.
Yeah, so it was something completely fresh.
It was like
fresh.
A blank slate.
And that's something that you were excited for?
Very excited.
Why?
We grew up in Pontiac, and the Bucks play there. Actually, the Bucks play on, their stadium is actually built on the section of Earth our house used to be on.
So there's a connection.
It's a very weird... It's a very weird situation. The street we grew up on is kind of like this offshoot across from all the GM plants. It's just like, there's like no residential streets on this strip of road. It's just all GM plants.
Yeah.
And so General Motors sold this property that was behind like Ken and I's childhood home. And Ultimate Soccer bought it and built on this thing.
A hangar.
Like in the back corner of the main...
The main field. Where they play the Bucks games.
Is probably sitting on where our living room used to be when we were kids. It's very bizarre. So, but anyways.
But you don't like the Bucks.
No, the Bucks were established, and there's something so dirty about a professional, quote-unquote, team playing indoors.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it at all.
Does not feel right. So you were excited to have a blank slate. For you to work with or for the team to work with or kind of both? Did you have ideas with what you wanted to do initially?
Yeah, we did. And I just texted Ken. I'm like, I sent him a link to the one-page website, basically the introduction site. And I said something like, we're doing this, you're involved. That's
that's it.
There's like no choice
period.
Whatsoever.
Send.
You're doing it. So that's, hold on, I got to crack open this. Oh, it's City Till I Die. Or cider till I die. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Blake's, for making delicious cider. So you had obviously if you wanted a blank slate, you obviously have some history in soccer and have an idea of what you think it is and what you think it should be.
Right.
Where does that begin? Where does that start?
Oh, I started playing soccer. Well, to go way back, and I don't think Ken really touched on this, but we kind of went to this private Christian fundamentalist type.
Ken definitely did not touch on that.
Okay, so we grew up in this in this church, and it was, like I said, super fundamentalist, like women didn't wear pants. It was like super, super backwards and super legalistic type stuff.
Yeah.
And... for some odd reason, it's not odd that they had a school, but there was a school attached to this church. So it was such an insular type situation with this church that if you went to the church, your kids basically had to go to the school.
Okay.
That's just the way it worked.
Yeah, that's how it
works. It's a very small school.
That's super weird.
I think there was like, I think when I was like first grade, there was 12 people in my class.
In like first graders in the school.
Right.
So it was like very, it was small.
I mean, there was maybe 200 kids in the school, period.
Yeah.
So, and for some really weird reason, soccer was huge at this school.
Okay. That's really strange.
Now, keep in mind,
this was in Pontiac?
The school was in Rochester.
Okay.
But we lived in Pontiac. My mom used to drive us to school every day. And this just really weird, for some unknown reason, still to this day, it's a huge soccer school. And this is 1978, 1980, in that range right there.
Yeah, so you're already predating kind of mainstream soccer popularity at that time.
So everyone in the school played soccer. You go out in a recess, and they had just like this, the school was kind of wacky. It just had this giant asphalt pad. It was huge. It's where they used to park all the church buses, but... everyone would play soccer in recess. And this started in like first grade.
Like street soccer?
Yeah.
On the cement pad.
It'd be like 70 versus 70. No rules whatsoever. And the goals were like probably 90 yards wide. If you just got it off the concrete,
like
off
that
the
was
asphalt,
a goal.
That was a goal. And there was like nonstop fights. I mean, like some of the greatest fights I ever got into was at Rochester Hills Baptist Church in the parking lot playing soccer.
Like, that's not even a story you would really hear today. That's, no. Like, so weird.
It is weird.
It's so weird.
But there was no football team at the school. There was not really a baseball team to speak of. It's, like, soccer and cross country were the sports. And it still baffles me because it's still that way right now.
Okay, yeah. So that was your beginnings.
That was my beginnings. And played... There was an elementary team at that school, as odd as that sounds, but...
Well, like a U-10 team or something?
Not really. It was just, like, elementary.
Just...
Like, from first to sixth
kid,
grade.
If you're right. A kid, that you'd play on the soccer team.
Right.
Okay.
And then there was a high school team, obviously. There was no, like, junior high team or JV team.
Okay.
But there was a high school team. And then the church had its own team. So it's like...
Separate
from the school, which was...
Which required all the kids to go to it.
Correct. Which all the kids from the school played on this church team as well.
Was there church leagues? Or like what...
There's like a small church league because there's other churches in the area that had the same kind of fundamentalist...
Okay.
Weirdo mentality about religion and just all this other weird stuff.
But, yeah.
Yeah, there was other teams. We played quite a few games, actually, on the church team. But we played in this, like, super dirt field. It was, like, horrible. And I think, like, the first
time... Better or worse than Cass Tech?
Oh, it's way worse. It was that's horrible.
Really bad.
I mean, there's rocks and, like...
Yeah, that's really horrible. Bad.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it. And then I remember going to Detroit Express games with my uncle at the Silverdome.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
And then, which was... Whatever.
Late 70s.
Now, did you go to indoor soccer games too, or did you just say fuck those?
No, we actually went to a couple just for entertainment value.
Yeah.
I mean, we went to high school in Auburn Hills, so the Palace is right there, so you couldn't help but hear about the neon. Which, man, Ken touched on it. It's a horrible idea.
It was. It's
named
not,
after
it's,
the like the worst car on the planet. Be like the Pontiac Yugo soccer team.
Yeah, soccer team. Like, that's their crosstown rivals.
Right.
The Yugos.
So both of us obviously were exposed to soccer at a very young age, and we just kind of stuck to it because we went to this smaller school. There was no other sports to play.
Yeah.
So
that's you being interested in soccer, like, as a sport, as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
What got you interested and gave you ideas to start a supporter group, supporter culture? How did that really come about?
I think
about?
Even at a young age, when I was in high school, or probably junior high, I used to go to my friend Jason's house, and Jason and I played soccer together all the way through high school. I played travel leagues together.
Okay.
His parents had, like, a satellite dish. Not the small, like, dishes you got on top of your house right now. I'm talking, like a big, the 12-footer.
Like, mounted, like, trying to contact outer space.
Correct. And for some really unknown reason, they would, you could get like this Dutch channel that would play AX all the time. And so we'd sit there and watch, you know, AX play, and their fans are freaking mental to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so fascinating, like, as an American kid who had gone to like a professional baseball game where everyone sits down, and, or, you know, Detroit Pistons game or whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, you, singing nonstop. It was just fascinating.
Drums and flares.
Right.
And like huge painted displays.
And I couldn't understand a single word they were saying. I couldn't even understand the announcers, but it was all in Dutch. But so at a very young age, kind of got exposed to what supporters were.
Okay.
Even though I didn't really understand what they were doing.
Understand the nuances
right.
And all that.
And I think as it's taken, you know, hold in the United States and there's more and more supporter groups, kind of wanted something along those lines, but in our own way.
Yeah. Which was very apparent from the get-go that
right.
You guys were going to do it in your own way. And so getting back to, I guess, the start of it, what I want to know is what kept you guys going, knowing that, we've established that we're not really liked, and people mm-hmm. didn't think we were doing it the right way initially, and it was going to be a disaster, or, you know, it's not good for the sport. What made you keep going and keep pushing this to become what it is?
I don't really buy into a lot of the arguments about it's bad for the sport, if the children need to be protected, I don't know, you know, if no foul language. I don't buy into that philosophy at all. I never really have. I don't really know what kept us going. I think it's
because
it's
just fun and you wanted to keep doing it.
I think it's because we don't quit. I don't know. we just had this like very hard time giving up on stuff.
Who's we?
Ken and I.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We're not easily swayed in our opinions of stuff.
You're stubborn.
And once we get our mind set to something, it's pretty much we're going to follow through with it.
Okay. And so it fuck you if you don't, basically.
Basically.
If you don't believe or you don't like it.
Just kind of leave you by the wayside.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So how did you, like, I know Drew had a lot to do with the imagery, but I know you, I know that you had some input in that as well. What kind of inspired, what inspires your imagery that you choose to like represent you and the black and the kilts and the skulls and
all the black and skulls goes to my love of death metal. I think. I don't know.
Pretty simple. Like there, that's, there
no,
you go.
I've always, with growing up in this, such a weird kind of church, super strict kind of upbringing, it lends itself to a really bad rebellion. And all through high school, I was like super hardcore punk.
Okay.
Like crazy hair and the concerts and the music. And I think that just kind of followed me through my entire life.
Just who you are.
It's kind of like the punk aesthetic.
You just you're never not punk. It just evolves.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't a far stretch to go kind of all black and skulls and kind of scary imagery.
Yeah.
And it also is kind of intimidating, honestly. I mean, we got,
of course,
flags that are 12 by 12 giant skulls. I mean, that's
with middle fingers
black and white, and they're really creepy looking. And
pretty
kind of scary.
Yeah, they're kind of scary. Especially to someone who might not understand.
Especially like
it.
Ann Arbor parents who like crawled out of their,
who are too granola for the situation.
Their bungalow or whatever. I don't know.
So now I'm actually going to pull up some of these questions that people had. They are hard ones.
They were hard ones.
So I'm just trying to pick these all up.
And Bikini Dan had some late submissions today. There's like 8 questions.
Yeah, so
I'm going to answer them all.
Do you want to start with his?
Let's just go with his.
Okay,
let's do it.
Let me go
let's
back.
Get out of the way.
Let me get his up here really quick. Okay, so his first question, Bikini Dan.
Bikini O'Daniel.
Bikini O'Daniel, King of the North.
King of the North.
NGS Gigolo. His first question today. What is one idea you wanted for the group that you had to get talked out of? Or what lies at the top of the scrapped ideas pile, in your opinion? Or heap is the word he uses.
Wait, what was the first question? It was,
these are kind of the same question. Okay. So what is one idea that you wanted for the group but you had to get talked out of? Or someone talked you out of doing it? Or what lies at the top of the scrapped ideas heap?
Man, I don't think I've ever been talked out of anything.
Can talk you out of anything.
I've been talked out of many times. Smoke bombs and visiting stadiums.
Which is surprising that you could be talked out of something.
Well, I think just someone just kind of pointed out, like, it's probably not a good
idea. Just wait till the end.
Right.
Don't do it right now. Just wait till the end.
But I'm more of like the, you know, we're here, we're going to light smoke bombs off.
Like, this is our home
you're
now.
You're going to have to deal with that.
I think
it, which I've lit smoke bombs off without permission before.
Of course. I think everyone has.
Nothing horrible has happened to me, so.
Or anyone or anything.
Right.
It harms no one. It does nothing.
Yeah, there's a really good picture of me at, I don't know if I want to admit to it. I'm not going to admit to it.
Well, there's no pictures. Nothing happened.
There's a picture of me standing there after I lit a smoke bomb, and it does not look like I lit a smoke bomb. I'm minding my own business.
Like, oh, what's that over
like,
there?
Just in shock and horror that someone would have done such
a thing.
Who
would do this? I know I've had to be talked out of a lot of things.
What have you been talked out of?
Usually just online, Twitter bullshit. Just, you know, it's not worth the time or the battle. I've gotten a lot better about it.
But, yeah, I guess some of that has been talked out of.
Yeah, but I don't think anything like game day wise or like
no
like big picture stuff I've had to be talked
about. No, it's
out.
All been smaller Yeah. Pretty, I mean, in the grand scheme, petty, pretty bullshit. Insignificant stuff.
Yeah.
And what lays on the scrap pile?
Man. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if anything big. I don't even There's a lot of little stuff. Like, I think most people will be pretty surprised how many T-shirt designs get thrown out or scarf designs have come and gone.
And I wouldn't even call that like a scrap pile. I would just be like the idea pile.
Right.
Like, we're saving it for when we might need it.
We're not sure we're saving it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like it's not scrapped, but it's not like, you know, we're not going to do this.
Because something better, you know.
Yeah, like usually it's because, well, actually 100% of the time it's because there's something incredible.
Like especially perfect. Some of the, you know, merchandise ideas, there's like, people have to realize it's like the 10th alliteration of what is out there.
Yes.
Like the first 9 things got rejected and then the 10th one stuck, so.
And there's, interesting thing about merch is, I don't know if people just want us to be like a funny t-shirt.
I don't know.
Merch, or like if they want.
See, I want darker.
Yeah, I want like darker, I want like cool shit. But I like, I mean, I like the funny shirts too. Like I love the middle finger shirt
this
year. We
can do both. Oh, the middle finger shirt. The middle finger banner was amazing.
The middle finger banner, the middle finger shirt. I honestly love the Fuck MLS shirt and the banner. Like, but those are the things that like you can't wear out.
You certainly can't wear to high school.
Can't wear to high school, kids who are listening, who I know you've gotten in trouble.
Stuff that lands on the scrap pile, it's nothing really big. No. Actually. Nothing I can think of around the top of my head.
Yeah, we really, I don't know of anything either.
I mean, 6 years, you'd think something would have stuck out, but nothing really.
So, next Bikini O'Daniel
King of the
question.
North. King of the North question number
King
three.
King of the North question number two, or three, technically.
2A.
2A. Do you prefer a smoke or a flare?
I prefer smoke, and I wish we could get our hands on some of the European flares, that also are smoke bombs.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was watching, which I do regularly, watching videos of other supporters, and I fucking love the flare smoke bombs.
Correct. Have you seen the, I think it's in Russia, the newscaster had two ultras on there?
Yeah, yeah, and they asked him,
he asked them, how do you get the pyro in the stadium?
How do you get the pyro
in
the stadium?
Yeah, and they just lit it off in the studio. It was amazing.
Didn't they ask them, too, if, like, they had security and they got checked?
He says, yeah, you've got metal detectors of security, don't you? And he's like, well, yeah, and they just lit it off. Like, yeah, screw you. So, yeah, it's definitely, like, smoke, lots of smoke, obviously. I'm a huge smoke fan, but if we could get our hands on the European-style flares, that'd be amazing.
Which we can't.
Right. We've tried. We've tried everything.
Do you have a favorite color of smoke?
Black. I love the black.
Do you like... So, quick background. We've had different types of smoke throughout the years.
Right. I've still got scars.
And more recently, we've opted to go with the much, much, much more expensive smoke.
Right.
Out of safety, and it's not doesn't require fire to ignite.
Correct.
And it's better, in my opinion.
Right,
but like not necessarily as good.
Like 2012 through 2015, smoke
15.
Was ridiculous.
Do you want to go into kind of how we did smoke in those early years?
Well, I would go to like whatever fireworks store I could find and buy hundreds
don't do this at home
of these smoke sticks, and they were called
Mammoth smoke,
and they were white. And then I'd take electrical tape and I'd tape like 5 of them together at once.
And then subsequently light all of them off at once.
Correct. If you light one fuse, pretty much all the fuses are going to light because they're sparks.
It sparks, yeah.
And I'd sit there and hold like 10 of these smoke sticks in bundles above my head. And
it was an insane amount of smoke.
It was ridiculous.
It was insane. Like, people actually, I have vivid memories of people, like, collapsing.
Oh, Drew flat out passed out one time during a game.
Just because there was, and for whatever reason, I just feel like the 2012 to 2015 were a lot more hot and humid.
Mm. I was just thinking about that on the way
couple
over
of
here.
Years, the yeah. last couple of years, it's been kind of nice at games. But, dude, at CAS, it was just like...
Oh, well, we're sitting on the frying pan of
Grand River
metallic bleachers.
Yeah, and so I just, the smoke hung way more at Cass than it did.
Well, that, and it was so thick coming off those mammoth smoke, and that's not stuff you want to breathe.
No. Well, you don't want to breathe any of it, but especially 5 to 10 smoke bundles.
And the drum section, the capos, were just taking the full brunt at Cass. I mean, because it was right there.
Yeah, everyone was, it was just.
I was the one lighting it, and so it was like.
Lighting it while you played drums.
Ground zero, yeah. Like, ground zero was where I was standing. But I learned, we were cleaning up. It was the last game. I can't remember what year it was.
It was the last game at Cass.
Okay, last game at Cass, and I had brought so much smoke, and people were begging me to stop lighting it, and I just kept going and going. And finally, we were cleaning up at the end, and, like, there's all these bundles of smoke bombs laying around.
On the bleachers.
On the bleachers on the ground where I just dropped them, and one of them exploded. And not just a little explosion. It was like a full-blown, like
IED.
Huge explosion. And it was because the heat...
It was all trapped in.
It was all trapped, and the one in the middle just exploded.
And it didn't... I don't think that one had ignited or something
that.
And
so it just kind of festered.
Yeah. So that's when we stopped doing that.
Yeah, and then Papa Cass is like, you could have been holding that. I'm like, oh, my God, you're right. I could have been just absolutely crippled for life.
Yeah, that's when we switched over to the Enola Gay, yes. Was the following.
Right, should we say that? I don't know.
People don't know how to get it. Okay. People don't know how to get it. Definitely don't know how to get it in the quantities that we get it
either. Yeah, so we switch over to the more safer, not exploding type. That's, you know, like pull pin.
Yeah.
No fire, no flame.
And I like that stuff way better, right. Personally.
And we've done flares, and man, I regret that.
It's too much.
Yeah, we did flares the first 3 or 4 games.
Well, we're still doing flares now.
Yeah, but they're kind of being hung over the field.
Yeah, just melting the plastic.
Yeah.
Just to force them to get a new field.
It's going to turn into a tire fire.
It's okay. We got people will pour their beer on it. Right. It'll be
okay.
Fine.
It'll be okay.
Okay, his third question. It's been 6 years since inception. Where do you see the group in another 6 years?
That's a tough question.
I have no idea. It could be any direction.
It could be. We could not even be around.
Yeah.
Or we could be huge. I don't know.
Who knows? What would you like to see? Like, what's your ideal scenario, your dream world?
Playing at our stadium, enjoying the game, having a really good time doing it.
Still existing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think my vision is pretty simple. I just want to go and have fun, watch a game, watch my team play.
Yep.
And watch them win.
Very basic, but at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Right. And something, you know, it started out... All these big dreams or actually no dreams whatsoever.
Yeah,
no
did you
idea,
have expectations?
No clue where we're going.
Yeah.
I just knew we were going to push hard.
Do your own thing. Push hard.
That's, I think, something we agreed on in the beginning. We're just going to push super hard. And we're going to do as much as we possibly can to bring as much attention to the team as we possibly can. And we just never stop pushing. So in 6 years, I don't know where we're going to be, honestly. No clue.
You're not going to stop pushing?
No. We're going to keep moving forward. In fact, I think the motto of this season is going to be Tramp of the Week, Hurdle the Dead. I think it's going to be the motto.
Tramp of the Week, Hurdle the Dead.
Yeah, because we're just not going to stop.
Yeah.
Why would we? We're having too much fun.
That's true. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of work, but right now I think we're probably the most organized we've ever been.
Without a doubt. And we have to be. I mean, that's what you have to do.
There's people for everything. We've got... Our merch team this year,
lights out,
crushed it.
Yeah,
and just absolutely amazing amount of work they put into everything and stuff they put out. We went from selling scarves, our one scarf that we had out of the back of my van at Harry's, to now we have two fully working, fully stocked
pop up
merchandise booths.
Yeah,
so.
And they do work.
And they never stopped.
Yeah.
The merch team never stopped.
New stuff all the time.
The time.
It was a good year, and I know they're planning on doing some awesome stuff.
And I don't even see anything. I'm just like, go with it.
They're just doing it, and it's working. And
like
they're happen.
Yeah, they pretty much operate by themselves now.
Which is good. I mean, that's really good, actually. They're kind of the backbone of all this. Now you have to be when you've gotten this big.
Well, they're responsible for the basic funding of all of NJ's Detroit or what we do.
And
I mean, we can't do it for free. I mean,
no.
it costs way too much money to do it.
People don't realize how much it costs. No, it's insane. People
not realize.
And we don't pocket anything. It's just it all goes into supporting the club.
I think right now is the first time we've ever been in a positive balance in the off season.
Before the new year, definitely.
Correct.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we're always like the... Before the season starts, we're always scrambling, trying to come up with scarves and who's going to put it on their credit card. And that's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, which is nice. It's going to be all like... So thank you, everyone, who purchased merch and supports this. Because
a lot of merch got sold this year.
Yeah.
And our merch team has been
yep.
on shipping like motherfuckers.
Dozens of orders a week.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Did I answer that question? I got off on a tangent.
No, yeah, you did, kind of.
Okay.
You just want to have fun for the next 6 years.
Yeah, I want to have fun forever. For as long as this thing lasts.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's forever.
His... the next line is two questions, but they're not... Well, they might be difficult ones. But what's your favorite... He says song, but chant. And your favorite away match.
Favorite away match. It's probably a tie between Cleveland 2012...
First year,
the very first ever away match, which was an absolute alcohol poisoned bender on a bus. God, it was crazy. So crazy.
So either that or.
That or Oakland University U.S. Open Cup win.
Against the Bucks.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't run on the field because I just had knee surgery. So I was like, I may or may not have lit a smoke bomb and stood there. On the sideline. I wanted to run, though. I walked out to the field, the pitch invasion.
You still invaded, and that's all that matters.
Still haven't got a fine for it. So
no fines.
What are you going to do?
We tried.
What was the other one? Favorite song?
Favorite chant song.
The Bismarcky one is...
I laugh love
so hard when they come when we do
people
that.
Love that fucking chant,
what's
too.
What's Bismarcky? How do you not love Bismarcky? Yeah,
that one's really good, and that's a newer one for us. I'll tell you what my favorite chant of yours is.
What is your favorite chant?
Battlefield.
Yeah.
And we haven't done
that in forever.
And I fucking love that one.
We haven't done that since Cass Tech.
I know. And that's one of my favorite ones.
We'll bring it back. We'll talk to the Capos and see if we can bring that back.
That's one of my favorite ones. And you have to be the one that does it. It's just not the same unless you do it.
All right. I'll try.
Get a megaphone. Well, you keep a megaphone, don't you?
I do for heckling.
Yes. Very important part of the game day experience.
Right. Usually it's hanging under the drum, so not a lot of people see it's behind a banner. But I have the microphone attached to the rail where my drum's at.
It's pick pointed it up at well. Hours.
Yeah, it's pointed out towards the field. I pick it up every once in a while.
What's your favorite heckle?
That's a hard one.
I already know. See, I know my favorite heckle of yours, too.
What is...
When you just yell, shoot it! The guy's like in his own half. You just yell shoot it at the other team. That's my favorite. Whenever I go to the games with you, it's
like I also best. Like my favorite thing to do is like when they're announcing the players and we all got our back turned, it's hard for the drummers to turn their back, so we're holding the drums.
Yeah.
So we kind of just face forward.
Yeah.
And I'll like wave at the players and then flip them off.
As
like
they
really
look,
super
as they
fast. Like
you.
As they look at me, I flip them off. But I wave, make it seem like, hey, how you doing? Then flip them off.
That's good.
Yeah.
And they're totally looking, too. You guys are, like, dead center.
Yeah.
Red, I think I know the answer to this, but Red NGS asks, who do you think would be an ideal international friendly for DCFC?
I thought about this a lot. And you know what my answer is?
Who?
Corinthians.
I like that one. I was not
Brazil.
Expecting that
I
want to
go South American.
Get really all those like Brazil to. Bots.
Yeah. Well, my wife's from Brazil, so and Corinthians was her team when she lived in Brazil.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
Actually, I think Corinthians and Flamengo, but...
Both of them?
Yeah.
So either of them you would take, or would you
I would
prefer...
take either. I would take...
I love Flamengo.
Probably anybody Flamengo. In the first or second division of Brazilian football.
Be different.
Yeah. Or Cruz Azul, Mexico. That'd be
Cruz
awesome.
Cruz Azul would be awesome, too.
Or, I don't know, throw a stick into Argentina and see what it would hit. Play them. But you know who I'd really want to play? The U.S. national team, because we really fucking fuck them up with. It's like a guaranteed win, right?
Guaranteed win. They got to play on turf, shitty field. Yeah. I mean, if we can beat a Serie B team, we can beat the U.S. men's national team.
Well, I think my kid's high school team can beat right now, as it stands, God almighty.
See, I thought you were going to go with the total hipster cop-out team and just say St. Pauli.
Yeah. Well, you know, St. Pauli's the only other team that I actually, well, yeah. I don't follow a whole lot of teams outside of Detroit City because all the teams suck.
Yeah. Like, why would you?
But I think St. Pauli, they're like punk rock.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd be fun.
Yeah.
But
now they're not, though. They're like the hipster.
Are they, though? I mean, it's still pretty gritty over there.
It's still gritty. Everyone here is like, oh, they're the club I like because they're gritty.
Right.
They're real.
Well, Detroit City should be your club because we're
should
gritty.
Be. Should be. Red actually asked another really good question. And I don't know if we have these, but maybe we should.
Hmm.
What do you believe are some of the cornerstone values of NGS? We don't really have, like, written down.
No, they're not written down. They're more unspoken, I think.
Yeah. Now they'll be spoken.
And I'm not even sure that Ken and I talked about this, but... Or Ken, Drew, and I, or even...
Anyone, yeah.
The
people that push NGS in the direction it needs to go. We've never really talked about it.
But I think we all kind of have the same mindset of acceptance and inclusion.
Yeah.
And... I don't know. I think that's the cornerstone.
Yeah, pretty much. And support DCFC.
I mean, support above all else.
Yeah.
But I think our core values as people have kind of bled over into NGS.
Yeah, who we support and
right
and why we support them, and I would agree. Yeah.
And you know, it's
well, Ken kind of touched on that when he was in here too. Talking about, you know, his upbringing and why
we're accepting. Yeah, our upbringing was, a lot different than a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, that's what I gathered.
Right.
From the conversation, it was, especially for at the time, like, very open and understanding.
Which is really bizarre that my parents are, like, super accepting of people, and it's really weird that we kind of were raised in this, what you wouldn't really think is an open type.
Yeah.
I don't know. The church and the school and the, I don't know, the weird, bizarre religion stuff. I don't know.
It's, but yeah, I think who you guys are, especially as people came out initially as what the values of the group were.
Yeah, which are just basically our values, like, as people.
Yeah, don't be an asshole.
Yeah, people's like, oh, why do you get so political like that? But why do you have rainbow flags and transgender flags and anti-racist flags? That's not a political statement. That's a human thing.
Yeah, that's
a human
just being
thing.
A good person.
Right. To me, that's not a political statement at all. That's just being a, that's just common decency to humanity.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it does not need to be politicized to just understand that that's what we're about.
Well, I think when you say why are you politicizing, it's kind of devaluing the... If they say, why are you, you know, against racism, that's political. No, it's not political at all. It's
just, I'm not racist, and I don't think people
don't
should
be an
racist.
Asshole.
Yeah. It's super frustrating. There's not an easy way to have that conversation either. But yeah, that's really what I would say. It's just, you're 100% right. It's what your values are as a person kind of exemplified in the group.
Right.
And that's...
I think a lot of like-minded people are in the group, so
from all different backgrounds, which is cool,
which I love.
Yeah, me too. JX82JXNGS asks a really good question. I'm dying to hear your answer to this.
The pressure's on.
You are now one of the owners of DCFC.
Oh God.
What would one thing you would add to the club, and what is one thing that you would get rid of?
I would add grass and get rid of all the benches on the supporter side.
Just easy, done, although expensive.
What I add? I would add more of like a permanent structure.
To what?
To Keyworth.
Okay.
Like actual like...
Like finish it off, like do the half circle?
Yeah.
Provided money is no option.
Like actual like permanent restrooms.
Yeah.
Things that need
more, just, or rather more restrooms.
Right, just infrastructure stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Making
it more like a legitimate game day experience sort of thing.
Right. Which it is. And yeah, I mean, love our setup now. That whole kind of like crazy
It's got it's something for everyone, which
is the beer garden with the whole food trucks and everything, and it's kind of has like this carnival appeal to it. I don't know. I have a good time. Me and my son show up hour and a half early to games, and we don't really do the march thing because there's just too much stuff at the field to take care of.
Yeah.
But we like to have, like, he likes slows. I like to have the falafel. So we have a nice little meal and then, you know, take our time, wander up to the section. And I don't know. I just kind of dig the whole vibe we got going there.
I do, too.
But I think bathrooms and just some other stuff, infrastructure stuff would be.
Which would benefit not just us, but Hamtramck as well.
Absolutely.
Which would be huge. And then,
what would I take away?
Yeah, what would you take away?
I don't think anything.
I think
I take away the turf. It's definitely the turf. Really, I hate turf. I really hate. I don't think soccer should be played on turf.
It shouldn't.
At all. I think it should be illegal. I think it should be in the Geneva Convention.
It's just a war crime to play on turf.
Yeah.
Not as radical of answers as I thought they would be. But
I hope I didn't let anybody down.
No, I mean, those are very sensible and good answers. Kira wants to know about your mustache and the, I guess the whole beard. And she doesn't mention the beard, but you can tell the whole story if you want.
The whole story is it started as hashtag heart attack beard. I had a heart attack.
Hashtag heart attack beard.
I had a heart attack. Almost died.
Very close to
October of last year. Yeah, so I'm a firefighter, and we have to shave. I'd be clean shaven every day.
It's a bummer.
It sucks. But anyways, so I had the heart attack, and, you know, I had the open heart surgery, and I knew I was going to be out for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was the first time ever, because I've been a firefighter since I was like 18. First time ever in my adult life I could grow a beard. And so I said, I'm going to do it.
Fuck yeah.
So I grew it for 9 months, because I was out of work for 9 months, right?
Yep.
So it was coming close to the time where I was supposed to be returning back to work, and I decided I'm going to shave the beard off, but leave this huge, gnarly mustache. So I did.
Like, your beard was great. That's why I got a hashtag.
Yeah, like, the mustache hung off my chin like 4 inches. It was so big. And then I decided to shave it up a little bit, like, to the corners of my mouth, but leave it long so I could handlebar it. And it was just so gnarly.
Was it the best moment of your adult life?
It probably was, having this like gigantic
mustache beard.
Mustache.
Yeah. Especially, you've never had
it. I fully regret shaving it off. I should have left it.
Can you leave the mustache?
I could leave the mustache. Not the way I had it, though.
But you could still have a thick-ass mustache.
Yeah, I probably totally went with a walrus mustache.
Let's see here. I love this guy.
Uh-oh.
Redneck Outlaw 420.
Oh, boy.
One of my favorite new supporters. He's a really good guy.
Hashtag medical marijuana card.
Other than don't be an asshole and support the club. Do you have any advice for a newcomer? He says better late than never, which is correct.
Mm-hmm.
With an all-in mindset. Do you have any advice for a newcomer that just wants to dive in?
Just dive in.
Yeah.
I tell that to people all the time. Don't be shy. There's definitely like the belly of the beast at the support section, which is like
front
the
center.
Drums and around that whole,
which is awesome. If you haven't done it, at least spend one game there. Right. If you can.
I mean, that's truly like,
that's the experience,
right? That's where you get abused. I mean, you're just packed in. So I'm in the drum, so I got lots of room to swing my arms, and people learn pretty quick not to stand next to me or near me. So I got lots of room, but the people.
Do you throw bows?
Kind of, yeah. Well, on the one side of me is Ken, so I don't want to throw too many bows his way because he'll throw them back.
Get them right back, yeah.
But I see how smashed in everyone is, and they're just having a great time. So
yeah, that's the like.
My advice is don't be shy, show up, and just dive right in there.
To everything, because everyone will welcome you and you'll become a part of it.
Yeah, and like 15 minutes into the game, you're going to have your arms around other people.
Yep.
You're about to Tetris till you vomit.
Another great way to meet people is Tetris. And then
don't get too handsy. Be respectful.
Yes. And then we kind of already touched on this too, but any 2020 hindsight mistakes in forming or running the supporter group? I loved Ken's answer to this.
What was Ken's answer? I don't remember.
He was like, I think we were too nice.
That's, yeah. That is, I heard him say that, and I agreed with that one when I listened to his interview.
Yeah.
The other one was, we should have not trusted a whole lot of people.
Who had input or, like told you things?
No, just, like, kind of got buddied up with us, and yeah. I can tell you a couple press people did this to us. They got all friendly with us and then just backstabbed the shit out of us. You know, what's the, you know, and we just kind of, they kind of used us as a springboard to help their career along and just buddy fucked us in the end. It was,
that's how it is.
But
doggy dog world.
I think we should have been a lot more insular and not so accepting of, like, maybe people that we didn't know trying to weasel their way in there.
Yeah. Don't be an asshole. So
yeah, don't be, like, an asshole.
Recognize the assholes.
Why are you gonna be an asshole?
And not, you know, entertain that. Okay. So Hogs asks you, what's your favorite banner or flag?
That's a of tough all one. Time? That is a tough one. I don't think there's an answer for that. Oh, I do love the original Northern Guard banner. The long
we
one,
still
the black
it.
One. Oh, it still flies.
It's raggedy as fuck.
Oh my god, it's so burned.
But we still, it's been,
I still
it's
love
been
it.
Repaired, I think, three times?
So many times. I don't know. I repaired it, I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
It's been glued and sewed and patched and.
It's a Franken banner.
It's horrible shape, but we love it. I love it.
Yeah.
People made me one when I was in the hospital. I like that one.
Yeah, that one was good.
And then I think Mama Cass and her little crew made me that Cobra banner.
Yeah.
Which I love. Which is a total surprise because I showed up at the stadium. I think it was the first game.
Of this past season. Yeah, when you came back, yeah.
Yeah. And that banner was hanging, like, right in front of my drum. And it's, like, a picture of me with a Cobra. And I mean,
thanks.
That's a classic.
What, do you want to explain the Cobra name really quick?
What was...
It was
what?
Photos I took.
Yeah, it was a chant. Correctly. We're doing a chant where, you know, we do the quiet part,
yeah,
and then everyone jumps up and, like, screams, and
you were, like, leading the chant.
Yeah,
at
I don't
the
know
time.
Why I was leading the chant.
I don't remember.
Something must have really bad must have happened. Me to be leading the chant.
It was disaster.
I don't know.
To get on a megaphone.
I don't know what happened.
But you were leading a chant.
But I was leading a chant, and I told everyone, like, I had the bullhorn, and I was, like, crouched down. I'm like, I want everyone to jump like a, you know, like, attack like a cobra. And I had my fingers up to my mouth, like two
like
fingers,
fangs.
Like fangs.
And
you
I
took
got
the picture
of it and made a,
like,
gif out of it. And then you kind of, you have a lot of nicknames.
Right.
Cobra, Guardfather, Heart Attacks,
Jerk
Beard,
off.
Jerk Off. Although that's Bikini O'Daniel.
Butthole.
Butthole. And then Hogs also asks you, were there any alternative names for NGS in the early days before Northern Guard was finally settled on?
No.
It was always that.
It took, like, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes to come up with it.
Okay.
And I think Ken explained what each word means. I mean, supporters,
yeah.
You
know, he did.
Whatever, but Northern, it was supposed to be, like, Northern suburbs,
yep.
Or, you know,
just where you
whatever.
Guys came from.
And then Guard is a common term used in pipe bands,
which
I've been a part
you've
of
been
pipe
a
band so forever. So.
Which Ken, I believe, also talked about in both interviews.
Correct. And the drum that I used the first, well, up until last season, was a retired bagpipe drum, a pipe drum I used in a band.
So you had it, and it was
the original one. It didn't serve its purpose in a marching pipe band anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's just too kind of broken down, but... For the purpose of laying it on a bleacher and beating the hell out of it, it works just fine.
How many drum heads have you gone through?
Oh, man.
For NGS?
Probably 10.
That's not bad for how much abuse they get.
And that's... And I... We use the... it's like... reinforced carbon fiber drum heads. And they're supposed to be, like, the ones we use, they're black, they're pearl, they're black.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the toughest drum head on the market. And the first one I got, I put my hand through it, like, the first chant at Berkeley. It was a preseason game.
It was cold.
Yeah, I just pounded right through it. And, like, we're in trouble because I just bought, like, a ton of these drum heads.
And they just smashed it.
But they hold up pretty good now. But yeah, I've broken a lot of heads.
I thought it'd be more than 10, so that's not bad.
Well,
I know 10's a lot. 10's a lot, but then I think about how many megaphones we go through and everything else.
We probably have 4 dozen megaphones.
Yeah, that are dead.
Yeah, I've got a full-on graveyard in my garage. There's just a pile of them.
We've got a pile in the basement.
We're going to build a modern art masterpiece out of them.
Pile mountain.
What we should do is like build a giant like pole of them and wire them all together.
Like The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Where he like clicks them all together. Like get them, fix them all, and they're like testing. Make like a shockwave explosion. Kira had another good question, and I'm going to use it to segue into kind of one thing I want to talk about for a little bit. So she asks, serious question, how would NGS respond to another wealthy Detroit oligarch getting behind DCFC instead of the current bid and taking that to MLS? How would you, I guess you would react, or how would NGS react to that? How would you react to it?
I don't think it'd be very good.
Why?
Yeah,
go into why. Because I think a lot of people need to hear this.
There is, if you've been around Detroit City FC or Northern Guard for long enough, you'll realize that there is a soul to it.
Yes.
And it's not just some autonomous entity that exists to make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
There's neighborhood involvement. There's community involvement. There's, I don't know, it's years and years and years of being in the community.
Yeah.
And I don't think some rich person, some rich corporation can come in and honestly even attempt to maintain that.
Yeah.
Because soccer is a business in the United States. It's business everywhere.
It's a business everywhere.
But some people take that business a lot more seriously than others and want to make a shit ton of money out of what's popular right now.
Yeah.
So I'm actually surprised that no one's come forward so far
to do it already.
Right.
Well, we don't know that they haven't.
Oh, right.
But you would think.
To my knowledge, no one has.
To my knowledge, no one's ever approached and been like, let's go to MLS.
So I think I view some rich person coming in and trying to back it, get behind it, whatever, as just like a self-serving gesture. That's way not what we're into.
Would you, given the rumors we know about an NASL or potential NASL owners wanting to put money into City to bring them to the NASL level, is that along the same lines, in your opinion, even though it's not MLS?
This is such a contorted mess right now.
It is so, it's such bullshit. I know.
The state of affairs in this country with soccer is just like
it's a shit show.
Yeah. It's a parody of itself anymore.
Yeah.
I think if the right investor comes in who wants to maintain the soul of what Detroit City is,
that understands what it's about.
Right. If you come in understanding, and your understanding is community involvement and everything that Detroit City stands for, everything the fans stand for, everything the fans demand of the team.
Yeah.
Then I think it would be okay.
It has potential.
It has potential. I don't think you get that much shit for it.
Yeah.
But if it's just someone coming in trying to make a bunch of money real quick off of a bunch of people's hard work and dedication they put into this club, then that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Well, just this whole NASL situation is really fucked up. Like, you have NASL owners that want to allegedly, invest in NPSL teams to basically save their own wallets. And I don't know what the details of the alleged deals are or anything like that. If they want controlling, you know, ownership of the team, or if they're just giving money, no one knows what that's going to be right now, if that's the case. But it's just so fucked up. Like, that's how it's worked. Honestly, that's how it works here.
It's not just how it works here. If you look across the entire globe, soccer is such a filthy, nasty, jacked up business. Every country.
Yeah, they're just taking money from whoever will invest it.
Right. If it's not controlled by the mob is controlled by a cartel or
gangs or
on and on it goes. Yeah. I mean, it's just such a filthy, rotten business. And
so how do you think we like come to terms with that and keep it community focused and supporter focused while, like, do you want the team to continue to grow? Do you want to go pro? Do you want longer games? Or I should say longer seasons, not longer games. Like, how do you, in your opinion, how do you go about doing that while maintaining your identity in the current landscape, which is entirely fucked up?
I think it's our responsibility as supporters and the fans and the current owners of Detroit City
to grow to while sure maintaining. Make sure it
maintains that. What we're about.
Do you think it's possible?
Possibly possible.
Possibly possible. It might be possible.
It may be possible. I think it's going to get, as we go up, and obviously eventually we're going to have to go up. There's just no getting away from that.
Yeah.
As we go up, it'll get more difficult to maintain a certain amount of what we're about or the soul of Detroit City.
Yeah.
But I think we, as fans, supporters, the actual customers, the team, to hold the, you know, their feet to the fire about it.
Yeah. Keep them accountable.
Right.
Keep it, you know, ideas in check. And
but it gets to a point where certain owners come in and they just don't give a shit give what a you shit. Think.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's in Pontiac right now.
Yeah.
Owner of the Bucks doesn't give a shit about fans. He admitted it.
Like, literally, quote,
he said, quote,
it's not about fans.
If I didn't spend a single cent on a fan, I'd be happy. I mean, how do you say that? And there's no fans at your games. There's a bunch of little kids that just get done practicing.
Do you think that there's a place for a team like that or that it shouldn't exist?
For a soulless fucking club up in Pontiac?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, obviously there's a place for them.
Yeah.
Because they're putting people here and there, but I don't know. What's the point?
I mean, I'm 100% in agreement with you. I'm just obviously playing devil's advocate here to get some answers. And but
that whole thing, if you just sit down with a calculator and counted the number of youth teams that play in that facility.
That's insane.
Any Friday night.
It's absolutely insane.
And how much they pay a year or a session, which is 15 weeks to play there.
Yeah.
The millions upon hundreds of million dollars that place makes a year. They don't have to spend money on fans.
Yep.
But is that, yeah, that's freaking stupid.
It's not what it should be about.
No.
And I agree. So you don't really have an opinion, like, do you want an ASL?
Honestly,
do you want an ASL or do you want something like NISA, where you get to decide your own fate and form a new league and, you know, kind of potentially do it a new way?
That's always seemed like a really crazy idea to me.
Yeah, it's really fucking forming crazy. Forming a new league, it's,
I don't know.
It could be awesome. It could be fucking horrible.
Like, I mean, there's already a new league that started in Michigan, isn't there? The Great Lake, whatever the...
Well, what there's the that, but now they're part of the UP SLLS...
I don't know. Just enough of the
fucking
leagues.
Acronyms.
The more leagues you add, the more confusing it gets.
Yeah.
Why don't we just get rid of MLS and we'll all be happy?
Well, no, because there's fucking people. We see the people that want MLS that just don't get it. They want the easy thing. They fucking literally tweet at Dan Gilbert. Any news yet? Like, yeah, like fucking Dan Gilbert's going to tweet back at you. Oh, yeah, dude, here. It's we're going to be announcing in 2 days. Like, that's the kind of people that... like are dying for MLS, and I can't lie and say there's no people like that because it's a thriving quote unquote business.
Thriving. Yeah, the crew's thriving.
record season this year. Christ. It only took for them to be potentially killed off. How do you feel about Save the Crew? Not actually saving the crew, but the movement.
I think it's just part for the course of that fucked up league.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a ridiculous league that you have a team in, or the league has a team in your city,
and
they want to move it, and you're all pissed off about it?
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. That's super...
How many MLS teams have shut down and left?
Four.
Four? Is it four?
Three, four. Crew might be four. Chivas, Metro Stars, Tampa.
Yeah, that was a brilliant move. Let's put Chivas and LA Galaxy in the same fucking stadium.
Crew. Is there other ones I'm not thinking of?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
There's got to be some.
I think it's
That's four. How much I pay attention to MLS.
Four. I think it's four, but I don't know. How do you feel about...
Well, about the Crew, I'm indifferent. That's what I am indifferent about. Anything from Ohio. You want to know why I feel? Because it's in Ohio.
It's whatever.
That's whatever.
I've never, like, taken a public stance on it, but I'm going to say the Crew need to die. For the betterment of U.S. soccer, the Crew need to die so more people can understand how bullshit...
I feel bad for their actual supporters.
I do, too, but... I mean, they made their bed, right?
Right. I don't know. Whatever.
It was never their...
I'm so indifferent.
It was never their club. You're so, just whatever.
I'm ultimate indifferent.
Zero fucks given. What is your thought on the Detroit MLS bid?
I think it's stupid. I think it's just absolutely... Oh, I get so sick of talking about this.
I know. Me too.
It's obvious it was never about an MLS team. It was about land. And the thing I hate the worst on the planet right now is corporate welfare.
Yeah.
I hate people giving millions upon millions to a billionaire, the second richest man in Michigan, to build a project that he's going to make more money on.
Privately owned project.
Jesus Christ.
And if it's not a stadium, it's a skyscraper. Because they're just to give him whatever he wants.
I'm just sick of it.
Yeah.
I think he's duping a lot of people.
Yeah. Have you noticed, man, we're going to go way off topic here, but this is something that really bothers me along the same lines of corporate welfare, but just how local media has become like PR agencies for New Detroit and all of the redevelopment happening.
They have to be, because who sponsors them? Who's paying the advertising bills for the commercials?
I just hate how
media in the United States. Here we go. I'm an anarchist. I know it. I don't care. I embrace it. Who pays the bills? They're just spokespeople for corporations.
Yeah,
that's all they are.
It's about money at the end of the day. Like any big corporate thing, it's right. About money. I'm so done. I'm so done with it. And I fucking tweeted today. I'm like, can we just announce the cities?
Right.
Just so we can move on. And I can either laugh at the fact that Detroit doesn't have a team or laugh at the fact that Detroit doesn't have a team. It doesn't
matter, because come May, I'm still going to be in the stands at Keyworth banging my drum and giving holy hell to opposing teams.
Yep. We're going to bring it a little back on topic here.
Maybe unholy hell. I don't know.
Unholy hell. Holy hell depends on your outlook. John Mozena asks you, who is your favorite DCFC player and why is it Connor Butcher?
Why is my favorite DCFC player Connor Butcher?
Yes.
Well, because he's my son. I don't know.
Yes. Well, do you want to go into your son's
playing prowess. I don't know. He's a stud. I mean, what can you say?
It's crazy.
He's really good.
He's really good. He scored one of the best goals I've seen, and he's...
That's not even his best goal he's ever scored. there's video evidence of that one, but yeah. There's far many more goals that he's scored that are way more ridiculous.
Do you want Connor to play for DCFC play the drums in the supporter section? What would you rather have?
Well, he'd obviously rather be playing.
Of course. Of course.
But I think with all things, children's sports or my children or their achievements in life, I just kind of hold on for the ride. I don't really badger them one way or another.
Yeah.
Just kind of hold on.
I'm like, oh, shit. Where are we going?
But yeah, Connor Butcher is my favorite player.
Yeah. Where should he play for City?
Forward, that's what he does.
Yeah.
He's a forward.
Excellent striker.
Which, the Butcher family is defender, so I don't know where that came from. Ken and I both say, I don't know where you got that from.
attacking prowess. Right. Are you familiar with college soccer at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Crimson Ginger Beard, NGS Flint. With a strong showing by Big Ten in 2017, what colleges should City be looking at for recruitment this season? Obviously, we can't use MSU because of our coach and NCAA rules. I'm adding that in as a editorialized info.
Correct.
So he says, obviously, we can't use MSU, which is too damn bad with their year. And also, he says, not Big Ten, but nationally, if you can go in on that, too.
I think Caesar is recruiting from where exactly he needs to recruit from.
All over.
Right. And you got to keep in mind that these are unplayed college guys, and unpaid, you can't go that far out of the boundaries of Michigan to really recruit people. I mean,
we have.
We have.
Because we can house them.
Correct. But it's not, I mean, it's not like we go to UCLA and
pull a bunch of their guys.
Pick a bunch of those guys or Duke or UNC. Maybe we can. I don't know. But there's a point where you just can't go any farther out.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, logistical problems.
And they probably have local teams that they could play for if they don't want to leave and a whole bunch of things.
Right. So I think, you know, we're pulling from exactly the teams we need to be pulling from.
Yeah.
Or the colleges. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think there's anything. Have we had any Akron Zips in our roster? I can't think of any.
Akron. I don't think we've had any players from Akron at all.
I don't know.
At least not in the last couple of years when I've really been
paying
attention.
It's a really strong college program.
Like, low-key strong, too.
Right.
Who's, like, do you have a favorite soccer college?
Oh, MSU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, their program's really good. I don't follow too much college soccer because
they don't
have time.
Ken and I used to go to all the OU games.
Yeah.
Like, every single one of them back in the day. So they were always a favorite of mine. They still kind of are.
They still, they put out a ton of good guys now.
But I think, just MSU.
Yeah.
And now I got a kid going there and paying tuition. I'm like more involved in the sports programs.
You're directly funding the sports programs there.
Which soccer is free for students.
Is it really? Yeah. There's no pay to play for them?
No, I think they just swipe their little student card and they get right in.
That's cool.
So.
You're talking about admission, yeah.
Yeah, why are not all the students going to soccer games? I don't know. You need to get your asses there if you go to MSU.
Yeah, support those guys. Mark? VJ wants to know who Mark is.
Mark used to be the coach of, what was their name that year?
I think that was the Michigan Stars. That year still.
Okay, so Michigan Stars. Mark was a convicted pedophile, pervert, absolute piece of shit human that somehow weaseled his way out of prison by claiming he had tuberculosis. So they released him. And lo and behold, he becomes the coach of the Michigan Stars. Not just that, the Pontiac School District, like, embraced this guy as their youth program.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, this was before they canned him.
Okay.
But I fired so many angry letters to the Michigan school or the Pontiac school
Pontiac
board
school
and
system,
Pontiac.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was literally in jail and
was
writing letters to players.
Yeah, like his
young girls.
14-year-old girls.
So that's Mark. And so how did that meme, the Mark meme come about?
You know, I got back from vacation one year. And the first game, the day I got back, we were playing Michigan Stars in Pontiac at their Winsner Stadium.
Wisner,
I can't remember if the house band was playing that night or not. But
I think it they predated the house band.
Like, I was so angry that this guy was coaching, like, even around children, that I pretty much spent the full 90 minutes on a bullhorn heckling him. And not very nice either.
No, that was a really, like, I wish I could be standing next to you that whole game because it was good.
Someone had, like, a GoPro. It was me. I had taped a GoPro.
Someone had a GoPro on. Who put that GoPro on the megaphone?
I mounted a GoPro to the megaphone, like, pointing out. And I watched the video one time, and it was, like, 15 minutes, and it's non-stop verbal abuse to that guy.
Oh, my God.
And it was so filthy. So filthy.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
But
the, so that's how that meme.
Yeah.
Mark. Is that your favorite city meme?
There's so many city memes. How can you even come up with one? It's like favorite banner. How are you supposed to pick one?
Lansing blowing a 3-0 lead will always. That's a good one. My favorite one.
It still goes. It still goes.
People, anytime someone tweets about it, posts about it, news story about it, comments.
Yeah, I think it's Neil Rule that doesn't like it. He's like,
was it? No, it was.
I think he's like, get over it, guys.
It was not Neil.
Wasn't it? Sorry, Neil, if it wasn't you. Love you.
I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. But
are you sure it wasn't Neil? I want to say it was.
No, Neil's candy corn. Neil's got the candy corn thing.
I think he said something about it, though. If I'm wrong, Neil, I will come back on the show and exonerate you.
Like, issue a correction. A
formal apology.
Formal apology. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to talk about. We're doing a different format. It was just like a free-form conversation for this episode. I didn't have, like, talking points.
How long have we been going?
We're at an hour and 10 minutes
right
now.
Oh, my goodness.
So, oof. We're coming up there. What do you think is going to happen with the MLS bid? Do you think they're going to get a team?
God, I hope not. I don't think so.
I think
the whole last minute Rochambeau with the freaking
indoor soccer.
Freaking indoor Lions on the Lions field. Oof. It's
bad news.
And you can't do anything at Ford Field.
Nothing. Drums.
It may be flags. Worse than Yankee Stadium as far as rules.
No mustaches. Facial hair.
And it's like, I'm trying to remember all the rules they had for us when we went to the U.S. women's game there.
Do you want to talk about that really quick?
No.
Okay.
Really. Well, the game sucked.
Yeah, it was shitty.
Talk about backstabbing. Holy shit. I couldn't fly for a year after that game.
Yeah, you put on the blacklist.
I got put on the fucking watch list.
Yeah, no, I hope it doesn't.
I just totally spilled water all over your table.
You make a fucking mess. Good thing we got tarps down. We're doing the adult film
shoot
after
recording.
Anything else
you want to talk about? I don't know.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Not really.
Any messages? Words of encouragement?
You know, there's a lot of people right now in NGS that are going through some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, like, personal tragedy.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
We're here for you.
We're definitely here for you. If you need something, reach out. It's that time of year.
This is your extended family.
Yeah, we've come through for a lot of people in the past, so you're part of the family. So if you need help, reach out to somebody, anybody.
Yep.
And it's kind of a weird kind of a season right now.
Off season.
Yeah.
Blows.
Well, it's like holidays and stuff, so a lot of people go through some rough stuff around the holidays for various reasons. So if you need something, just reach out to someone. You know. Just got to take care of yourself. I want to see you in the stands.
Yeah.
We need you.
Every voice in that stand is important. And I think a lot of people need to remember that, because it's like without everyone, the collective there, it's the power comes from that collective.
Right. And speaking firsthand of watching NGS, you know, pull for you, I basically was dead for a while. And
yeah.
The amount of people that called and wrote letters and made meals for my family and donated money, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So.
It was cool.
I mean, firsthand, I know that if you need help, just reach out.
Yeah, we're here. I totally just remembered who didn't like. It was John Krieger.
Oh, John Krieger. Sorry, Neil. It was John.
John didn't like
John.
The meme. I know. It's such a good. We have so much. We actually have like good ideas to implement.
I'll send him. You know what? I'll send him a case of Red Pop or Rock and Rye.
You gotta remember which one he likes.
I think it's Rock and Rye. They both like Rock and Rye.
Yeah,
right?
I think they both like Rock and Rye.
Hashtag Team Rock and Rye up in the booth every year.
Yep, me too. Are you Team Rock and Rye?
I am. Yes, it's a child. Shit. I'm also Team Vanilla Cream from Town Club. If anyone knows what that is.
Are you Team Rock and Rye beer from Kunin? Have you had that?
I've not had that.
Oh, my God. Tastes exactly like Rock and Rye, but it's beer.
With alcohol content?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's great. I had it at a beer fest one time.
Now, if they'd only come with a vanilla cream Town Club flavored beer.
They probably have, like, some bullshit.
Not
like,
a lot of people know about Town Club, though.
I don't know about Town
Club. You don't know about Town Club?
I might. What's Town Club?
it was like back in the day, you used to be able to go to the store, town club stores.
Okay.
These tall glass bottles, and you used to like mix and match cases, wood cases, these like.
Just switch out kind of your flavors. Pop. Yeah. Okay.
And there was a ton of flavors.
Like RC Cola.
It was before. So good. So delicious.
Yeah. Glass. Are they still 2 liter?
No, they were like.
Tall whatevers?
Yeah, 1 liters? Tall bottle. Like the old 7-Up bottles.
Okay. Those are, yeah, I know those. So, vanilla. Have you ever mixed the two?
No. Rock and Rind vanilla?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Why not?
That seems like an abomination.
The world is your oyster.
That seems like it's in the Bible. Like, you shouldn't do that.
It's against the Geneva Convention.
I have to refer to my Bible that I had when I was a kid.
I think that's all I got. That's it.
Shout out to Merch Team.
Yeah, thank you, Merch Team. Thank you, people ordered merch. Yeah, I know we just shipped out a huge order of all the pre-orders, and all you procrastinators.
Also, pro tip, if you order something on Monday, you're not going to get it on Wednesday.
No, you're...
Don't send an email.
We package Sunday nights. So if you're ordering something Monday, right. It's...
Don't expect it on Wednesday.
No.
Because all we do is relentlessly make fun of you.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. If there are any questions or comments or anything you want to, give your input on, you can tweet at me at the Duke NGS or at the Northern Guard Twitter, which is at NGS Detroit, or to Gene's Twitter, which is
FIREMT Gene, GNE74.
Boom.
Boom.
And
super complicated. It's actually my first AOL address I had when I was like 94. Like
going in chat rooms.
FIREMT Gene 74 was my first AOL dial up email address.
I was wondering about the story, like, because everyone
Ken,
has their
Ken set it up for me. He's like, hey, here's your email address.
Thanks.
And like all of our email addresses was like our name or nickname with like our birth date.
Boom.
You're
that's
born.
The formula. So all right, guys, thank you for listening, and we'll get back to you soon. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Bye.
Fuck Ohio.